You know, Verlton's kind of under the weather. He had some dental work done this week, and Tenny and Shirley are got a lot going on. Just pray for the body. Pray for the congregation. Pray for those that are missing this week. Some of we know why. But there's a lot going on. So God knows it all. You don't need to list it to him. He knows it already. But if two or more are gathered and agree. Okay, so we need to be unified in our prayers this week. I'm going to lead us off in prayer and then we're going to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and Lord, we are all so thankful for the freedoms and the liberties that we have here in the United States of America. And we hope and we pray that we're getting back to centering that nation around you. And so that we can be prosperous and we can show your love. We know that we can go out every day and show your love and not be thrown in jail, not be beaten up for it. But Lord, we have that freedom and we don't want to take that for granted. Lord, as I begin today, just take me out of the equation. Shut me down. Give me the words you want me to speak and give the congregation ears to let them hear what you want them to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So the title today is Let Freedom Ring. And, you know, Julie messaged me Friday morning, Thursday. It might have been Friday. I was working Friday. Friday was my last day before vacation, so it was the easiest day of, five of the easiest days to get up. Because I know that it was the last day I had to get up for like 10 days. It was July 4th. I did have to work, but it was still easy. In fact, normally my alarm goes off, and for about 36 minutes I hit snooze. Friday morning, I was awake at 2:48. I said, no, it's not time yet. I was awake at 3:12. And then I was awake at 3:23 and I just decided, you know what, I'm getting up. My alarm was set for 3:30. I wanted to get in and get out before the crazy started. But I was so excited, two reasons. Number one, I like summer holidays and I like what July 4th signifies. We're going to get into that a little bit today. And we're gonna be a little bit all over, but the 4th of July, the common phrase we hear is let freedom ring. What does freedom really mean? Freedom is the ability to do what we want, go where we want, and speak what we want. And that's what the forefathers, that's what they fought for. They fought for religious freedom, to get away from all the laws and stuff concerning what they could and couldn't do. And however, we're going to talk today about Paul. When Paul talks about freedom in Galatians 5, and we'll read that, he redefines the word freedom. He tells us we're not just free from something, we are free for something. Not just freedom from sin, guilt, and legalism, but free to love, to serve, and to reflect Christ in all we do and say. So as we're spending the weekend celebrating, you know, our country's freedoms, let's really think about what it means to live in spiritual freedom. And the way we do that is through Jesus Christ. We're going to be Galatians 5, and I've got 13 and 14 to use as the main verses. But I want to start in verse 1 just because this first part of it is a lot. Verse 1, for freedom, Galatians 5, chapter Galatians 5, 1 through 14. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And that passage kind of is like, okay, that's the way the world is today. Man, we are backbiting. We are just, we're consuming ourselves instead of focusing on the true, what Jesus really wanted us to focus on, and that's love. Love. So I have three, I don't know what you call them, three points I want to make. Freedom is a calling, not a license. And I hope that'll make sense here in a second. Freedom is a calling, not just a perk of salvation. We all like perks, right? I have certain perks at my job that other people that don't sell Coca-Cola don't have. You know, three times a year I get a case of Coke for free. Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. That's a perk. That's not something that I take for granted, but it's just an extra benefit. For our spiritual freedom is not a perk. Okay, it's not something that we deserve. It's not something that's given freely. God gave His Son freely. I love that Jamie used John 3:16 this morning, because we could have mic dropped and left after devotions because Jamie talked about love. But that passage right there just tells us where God is. And it God gave His Son by choice for us. So we reap the reward. Paul makes it clear that just because we are free by the work of Jesus, that freedom is not meant to serve our own desires. In other words, we don't have, our spiritual freedom is not like a hall pass. It just lets us go out there and just be bozos. Okay? Our spiritual freedom means we also have a certain responsibility to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go out there and show the love that He showed when He put Himself on the cross. Because that is love. And you know, I'll use the boys as an example. These two dudes, man. Harvey, I don't know whether he knows Grandpa loves him or not. Beckett does. Harvey, this is the longest I've held Harvey in about 2 months. Because normally when I hold Harvey, he squawks and he don't like it. But those two guys know where love comes from. Because when Harvey sees his mom in the room, ain't nobody else in the room. Now, Becca likes Lindsay a lot, but when Becca sees Grandpa in the room, there's nobody else in the room. And it bugs her. But that is the kind of love that Jesus has. When he looks down, he sees nobody else but me and you. And he sees us all individually. It's not a, man, I look down and I see Christianity. No, he looks down and he says, gosh, Patsy is beautiful today. She's pure. She's white today. She is as pure as the day she was born. Matt, even though he's done some dumb things, when God looks down on me, all he sees is my salvation. That's pretty cool. But it's not a hall pass. We still have a job to do. It's not, and I like the way this one's worded. It's not a license for selfishness or sin. Our freedom is not a license for selfishness or sin. Let's go over to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Are those up? There it is. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And sometimes as Christians, we get that false hope that says, man, it doesn't matter what we do. And we just live the way we want to live. We live that selfish, sinful way. But right here is telling us, your grace is not going to increase because you're more stupid. Okay? We are those who have died for sin. When Jesus died on that cross and rose again in 3 days, that gave us the foundation for our faith and the foundation for our beliefs that we will live eternally through Jesus Christ. But there's only one way to do that, and that's through Jesus Christ. We can't continue to go and be bozos out in the world and keep our Jesus to ourselves. Because we're going to read a passage later that says, and I'll just paraphrase it, it says, love yourself as you love your neighbor. Something like that. Okay? And if we go out and we do just nothing but selfish things, we're not showing God's love. We got to go out and do the things that Jesus would do. We got to go out and try to do the things Jesus would do. But freedom does not mean permission to indulge in worldly things. It means power to live a new way in Jesus Christ. So we've talked about a lot of words, right? We've talked about love. We've talked about power. We've talked about indulgence. I want to focus on love and power the rest of the way, because with the love that Jesus has, we have the power. But I'm going to define indulge to you right now. And it's a Greek term that implies setting up camp for the flesh. So if we think about our indulgences, you know, some of us, it may be chocolate. right? I'm not a huge fan of chocolate. There's a chocolate caramel creamer that I really like now in my coffee. So I suppose that's an indulgence. But it's because I enjoy it, that's why I do it. There are other things that we can carry too far and indulge in things that are not good for our mind, body, or spirit. And as you can see by the shape of me, I indulge in the supper table from time to time. And it's not because I'm hungry. It's because Chris's a pretty good cook. Right? I'm showing her love by eating her food. Yeah, whatever, right? But when we indulge, indulgence is kind of like we go over the top with it too. Because when I indulge in food, I'm miserable afterwards. Now, if I eat what I need, I'm fine afterwards. But when I indulge is when I get myself into trouble. And you know, God has placed all these things in our lives for us to enjoy. And most of them are good in small parts. It's when we indulge that we get ourselves into trouble. Just because Christ freed us from the law of sin doesn't mean that we are free to live lawlessly. We still have to pay the consequences for our decisions. You know, I was driving yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Chris and I drove all over. We're trying to get things finalized because we're leaving soon after church today and going to Tennessee for a week. And so we had a lot of running yesterday. You know, and love my wife. She said, I can probably get everything at Drug Mart, Mount Gilead. Cool. So we go to Mount Gilead, and she wanted a certain see-through bag for, like, shower gels and whatever, you know, whatever, all that stuff. And she was not playing Drug Mart's price. It was, I don't know, it was $19, no, it was $24. I said, well, okay. You know, we got yard to mow. We got the house to finish cleaning because my wife wants to come home to a clean house. I don't know how that's going to happen. Morgan's living there for the week. If it looks anything like her bedroom, we're probably just going to torch it when we get home. But anyway, we drove all over. I said, well, okay, we'll go to Walmart for you to get this bag. She checked Dollar Tree in Mount Gilead. So we went from Mount Gilead to Marion, and we saved $5 on the bag, you know, and we're poverty stricken, so that $5, I mean, but whatever, we did it anyway. Plus I got 7-brew coffee, so it worked out. But then from there, because I wasn't paying $2.97 a gallon for gas, we took $3.09 all the way to Galleon so I could pay $2.48 a gallon for gas. 50 cents a gallon I thought was well worth the drive. I don't know how they're giving it away in Galleon like that, but they are. It was $3.29 in Mount Gilead, $2.97 in Marion, $2.48 in Galleon. So kudos to Galleon. But we were all over the place because we had that freedom and we knew where we wanted to get to. It's no different with our Christianity. Sometimes we go a little off the track. Sometimes we go around this big circle to get back to where we should be. But you know what? It's by God's grace that we get back to where we should be. Otherwise, we'd just be wandering around. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. God gives us the freedom to make our own choices. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he could have said, hey, everybody from henceforth is now a Christian. There's no questions asked. It's just the way it is. But our human nature would take over, and what would we do? You know, when you go into a classroom or when you're a child living at home and you have all these rules you have to live with, what do? You rebel. And if God just said, you're all Christians, that's just the way it is, we would rebel against that. That's why it's so important for us to make the choice to serve Jesus. Because if we make that choice, then we're invested. And we understand what's coming at the end. You know, it's not till my girls were 20 years old and some, maybe till they had kids, that they fully understood what their parents meant when they said certain things when they did. And that applies to our Christianity today. You know, I've heard different sermons for 53 years, and it's not until something clicks 30 years later that I remember that pastor giving that sermon. That's pretty cool when that happens. But real freedom is not about doing whatever we want. It's about finally being able to do what's right. And I kind of already used this, but there was I read something about a train today. And you know, a train runs on tracks, right? So a train can pick up speed and it can really go fast as long as it's on the tracks. And do you ever wonder why the tracks go where they go? I mean, I know they're connecting cities, but sometimes it'd be simpler if the train went a different direction, right? Well, if we take the train off the tracks, it might go for a little bit, but it's not going to go very far. It's going to bog down. It can't run without that conductor on the tracks, with the tracks conducting the electricity or whatever. I don't understand trains, so, but I assume the rails are like the conductor for the engine to move. And when we go off the tracks, what do? We go pretty good for a little bit, but then we bog down. Then we fall into more sinful nature. Then we fall into worldly views. Then we fall into all this other stuff that we don't need. And God picks us up. Anybody have a toy train when they were a kid? I did. It was a Santa Fe. And it was a pretty cool thing. But every once in a while, that train would jump off the tracks. And, you know, we would reach down, pick it up, put it back on the tracks, make sure their connectors are making good thing with the rails, and it would go again. And that's what God has to do with us sometimes. I mean, he has to just pick us up by our scruff of our neck and say, hey, get back on track. And when he does, life goes much smoother for a while. But then our human nature takes over again. But I'm telling you, as long as we're focused on Jesus, life is good. The second point is freedom expresses itself through love and service. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Mark 10, verses 43 through 45. It'd probably be easier if I just let Julie pull it up, but 43 through 45. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And did you ever really think about when Jesus was here walking the earth, that he was here the whole time serving? Did you ever think of it like that? You know, because as I look at it, you know, Jesus, throughout his ministry, he had this pedestal that he was always on. He was always in front of a crowd. And he could have really, really used that to his advantage. You know, he could have been the king here on earth. Because people would have said, yeah, let's follow this dude, right? And they were following him all over the place. Dude had to get in a boat and go on some mountain to be by himself. So Jesus had a stand that he could have really made that about him. But he didn't. The whole time, he was teaching us. He was serving us. Those disciples that were with him, the whole time he was with them, he was trying to teach them. He was not there because he enjoyed spending time with those knuckleheads. He was there because those were the people God told him, hey, he chose to carry out the plan after he was gone. So he did enjoy spending time with them. But I will say they were still knuckleheads. And that's why I like those guys so much, because I'm a knucklehead. I'm a knucklehead. You know, I'm I don't want to say I'm like Peter, because I'm not, but I'm dumb like Peter. I shoot my mouth off. I try to be bold and I do dumb things. I'll be the first one to fight. But you know, through Jesus' teaching with Peter, he grew him into the rock that we built the church on. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And I think about this one in my life. And when I'm doing nothing but things for me, man, I really enjoy those things I do. But you know what? The rest of my life kind of falls apart. But when I do things for the betterment of other people, and I've used this analogy before, you know, like Thursday, I got 3 trucks on Thursday. And I had about 1,200 cases I had to deal with. And man, it had been easy for me just to bury my head in those pallets and just go. But, you know, I would have missed the opportunity to show God's love to some people. And sometimes it's just as simple as a lady asked me, hey, do you know where this is? I know you don't work for Kroger, but do you know where this is? And I said, yeah, I think I do. I'll take you to it. She said, you don't need to take me to it. I said, no, let me take you to it, because I don't want to tell you the wrong place. So it ended up being something clear across the whole store. And when I got done with this, I turned around, I gave I don't even remember what it was, a jar of something to this lady, and she tried to give me money. And I was like, no, ma'am, I'm not doing that. She said, well, God bless you then. I said, I'll take that all day. I'll take that all day. But that's the stuff, and that hit home with me, because if I'd have buried myself in that pallet and not made eye contact with that lady and asked her if I could help her, I'd have probably got my job done faster. But I wouldn't have had that opportunity to show God's love. At the end of the day, that's what we need to do. And the last point I want to make is love fulfills the laws of Christianity. And we're going to go to Galatians 5:14 for that. I've already read it, but we'll read it again. I can look it back up. Yeah, 5:14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. love your neighbor as yourself. So anything you would do for yourself, you better be prepared to do for your neighbor. But show everybody you're around the love that Jesus has shown you. Christian life is summed up into one word, love. Everything God does for us flows through one channel, love. And Jesus confirms this in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. These are words of Jesus. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Man, if we would just get back to running the United States of America with these three verses right here, we couldn't fail. We could not fail. Because if Jesus is telling you that this is the great first and greatest commandment, that's good enough for me. And then John 13:34. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." You know, and it's great to see fireworks. It's great to see everything that went on Friday night, yesterday even, probably today even. Who had fireworks last night, by the way? Anybody know? I mean, it was like they were in my backyard, but I mean, I didn't see them, but I heard them. That wasn't the party you were at, was it, Lindsay? I don't know who it was, but anyway, I could hear them, and it was really cool to hear that. And you know, at the end of the fireworks Friday night, we stay at Chris's mom and dad's house, and it's about 2 miles from the park where they set the fireworks off. And we've done that for at least the last 15 years. Before, we used to go over to the park and watch them, but man, you might as well set up a tent and stay overnight by the time you get out of Fredericktown if you're at that park. So we stay at her mom and dad's house. But it's always neat to me because after the last conclusion of the fireworks, you can hear the applause and the cheering from the crowd at the park. And we're 2 miles away. So that's pretty cool. But that is how we should be worshiping God all the time. You know, when those fireworks go off, they were so excited. And Beckett likes the fireworks. He just is mesmerized. I don't know if it's the colors or the sounds or what it is. I think it's the colors because sometimes he wears his headphones. But he's in awe. And we are witnessing something far, far greater than fireworks. We need to be in awe of what our Lord and Savior does. And then we need to get fired up about it and go out there and show it. Sometimes it's easy to be fired up here. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm probably worse than anybody here. But I'll equate it to this. When you go to a basketball game, you're all fired up, you're all riled up, you're all, you know, you're so excited. When you leave there, what do you have left? I can tell you, and those of you who've heard me preach before, you know how excited I was about Northmore football last year. I'd tell everybody out there. People in Bucyrus got tired of hearing about Northmore football. But then I say, man, do I do the same for my God? We got to get out and show His love. I'm going to leave you with that, because I think the whole service today can be summed up in one word, from Jamie's devotion, from the preaching, from whatever. It's love. We need to show everyone the love that our God and Savior have for us. And the only way we're going to do it is taking it out in the street. Taking it out in the road. Taking it to Tennessee. Taking it to Texas. Mike's traveling to Texas this week. That was the other thing I wanted to pray about. His mom is they're moving her to the hospital right now in Bucyrus. Then he's got to go deal with his aunt is in a home in Texas, and got to deal with that, and he's dealing with selling the house, and he's got a lot. So pray for travels for Mike. Pray that God has His hand on this situation here this week while he's in Texas for a week. Because there's no quick way to drive back from Texas. You might as well be on a camel. Also, there was, a body found in Morrow County this weekend. Just pray for that situation. Keep Courtney Brinkman or Courtney Hoover in your prayers, the girls and everything, just unspoken, but God knows what's going on. There's a lot we can pray for, people. And there's a lot of people in this church that need our prayer. If we're not praying for the people in our church, how can we expect ourselves to go out there and pray for the people that need it out there? We got to take care of our own. We got to take care of our own first. But we got to do it to get out there. God is calling us to get out there. We've got to make a difference as Christians. I'm going to close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and Lord, we thank You for the freedom that You've bestowed upon us. We thank You for the love that You have shown us. Lord, we just ask that we go out and show Your love every single day that we're out in the world, Lord. There's sometimes the only people that there are people in our lives that are in our paths every day that have never heard Your name, Lord, and that's on us to get that done, Lord. Just put those people in our paths so that we can show Your love and we can start a conversation and start a fire in somebody, Lord. Lord, just if we have time of invitation, if anybody needs prayer for anything, let them come. If anybody would like to start their relationship with Jesus today, let them come as well, Lord. We just give You all the praise and all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.